Just want you to know the song was Romolo's idea from the beginning. Actually, a year ago, he said, "What about this for a theme?" And I didn't know the songs by U2 and B.B. King that they had done together. And so I love the theme, and so we'd been talking about it. And then slowly through the year, it's like, "So what if we played that song?" And so pretty fun. Hey, we are glad you're here this morning and happy to see all of you. A Merry Christmas to each of you. And thank you for your generosity with the gift cards. We'll bless a number of organizations here locally that will be blessed by that. They give out. They use it as a ministry to those that they minister to and different clientele that they have. And so thank you for doing that. Hey, this Wednesday night, we are going to have church. But kids, listen up, because you can remind your parents on Wednesday night. We're going to do the Peanuts movie. So we're just going to have a family movie night with a whole bunch of goodies and everything else. And so that'll be 7 p.m. on Wednesday night. And I'm already excited for next Sunday's message, because I'm going to do kind of the end of the year as we look back, take our last communion together, and then look out into 2018. And so I've entitled it, "Looking Backward with Thanks and Looking Forward with Hope." And so I love the psalm that says, "The Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad." And as I sent an email around to all of our staff saying, "Hey, your different ministries and stuff, give me some highlights." And so they've been pouring in of things we've already forgotten of what the Lord's done this year. And so we get to celebrate that together next Sunday. And so looking forward to that. But we're talking about Christmas this morning. And think about it. You've celebrated Christmas as many years as you are old. Now, for some of us, that's a lot of Christmases, right? And maybe immediately you start thinking of some of the greatest gifts that you've received over the years, or the some awesome gifts that you've given to somebody, and we're just so excited and waiting for them to open it up. Great memories of those things. But we love the Christmas story. Think about it. No one's afraid of a baby. Well, except Herod. He was about the only one I could think of. But no one's usually afraid of a baby. And so that's why he chooses to come that way. He didn't come to scare you. A lot of times in religion, that's a lot of times that we hear that God's just mad at you. And he's a God to be afraid of. But instead, he's a God that has come to communicate forgiveness and love. And so he didn't come to scare you. We think about the Christmas story. Matter of fact, when we just think about story in general, we are moved by story. Matter of fact, we emotionally get drawn in by the books we've read and movies that we've seen. And it's interesting, I remember reading a book on writing screenplays that specifically talked about there's only 10 different genres of any story ever told. Fits into one of these 10. Now, it makes it really messes you up when you go the next time you go to the movies, because you're trying to analyze, okay, that fits into this one. And you're thinking there'd be a whole lot more than that, but there's only 10 of them that come into that. So sometimes it's a story of rescue. Remember the movie Taken? It was a father rescuing his daughter that had been kidnapped. Sometimes it's a story of sacrificial love. Beauty and the Beast was based on that. The idea that sacrificial love will transform always and completely. Stories of heroes, and in this example, breaking spells, Sleeping Beauty expressed, we're not really asleep or dead, but we're under a spell, and there's a great prince that can break the spell. Jesus' story is about a hero who rescues and shows sacrificial love and breaks the spell of sin in our lives. You ever want to break into a story? You're so much getting into and everything else, you kind of just want to be a fly in the wall. You want to be part of that story. And that's what happens in Jesus' story. He invites us into his story. This story, though, Jesus' story, it isn't another legend. It's not another myth or epic tale. Jesus is the real story to which all other stories point to. The Christmas story is a story of rescue. The magic, the enchantment, the glory of Christmas was all about the rescue. Now, when Jesus was coming to rescue, one of the things that, well, they shall call his name Jesus. except that's what you and I know. We know the English word Jesus, but in the Greek it's Yeshua, or actually in the Hebrew in the Old Testament, it's Yehoshua or Joshua. And so as they're waiting for Messiah to come, whom were they looking for? They were looking for a Joshua, who was a warrior leader, probably thinking of the fact that when he comes, he's going to save people from their oppressors, maybe. No, that's not what he came for. Not to save them from our oppressors, but in Matthew chapter 1, in verse 21, he specifically says, you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their what? From their sins. That's why he came. That's why he was coming. And that's why so many people missed him at the time, because they're waiting for this great warrior leader to show up and to take care of Rome and Rome's domination at the time. And they were thinking politically rather than spiritually. And so he came down to rescue us from sin. He came down to restore us to the final joy for which we were made. He came down so we could know and enjoy him forever. He came down to reconcile us to himself. Or as Peter put it, and I love this, I hadn't seen this in 1 Peter 3:18 in the New Living Translation, it says this: to bring you safely home to God. To bring you safely home to God. The reason he came. When love came down at Christmas, we have this message from another world. It's otherworldly, right? It's a story beyond the natural. Matter of fact, Christmas is a story of supernatural. It's God entering down into our realm. The glory of Christmas is not that it marks the birth of some great religious leader, but that it celebrates the long anticipated coming of God himself. The arrival for which God wired our very souls from the beginning to ache for. He placed inside of each one of us, every one of us humans, that there's something more than us, something more than ourselves, something bigger, something greater, something or someone that can fill this void inside of my heart. He wired us that way. And so it's the story of heaven breaking open and a son coming forth who became a child, who became a man, who became crucified, who became alive again, who ascended, who became highly exalted, and who became our advocate, our intercessor, and our king. Now, he could have came in a cloud or as a cloud, and could have came in the wind or an earthquake, but he doesn't. What he chooses to come as human, thus dignifying our humanness, our humanity. It dignifies us. And so in Philippians chapter 2, verse 7 and 8, being born in the likeness of men, and then in verse 8, and being found in human form, and so the God-man didn't come down and become 50% God, 50% man. No, he is the God-man, 100% God, now taking upon himself 100% man. And that he would hurt in the same ways that we would hurt. He would have the feelings that we have and all of that. And in the midst of all of that, he became human. Now, our title of our message was When Love Came to Town, but we also talk about when love comes to town, because that's what brings you and I into this picture. That brings in this application now of what do we do with this message, okay? Jesus came to town. When he brought love to town, he brought it to us, but now what about presently? You know, in John's gospel, Jesus was about to go back up to heaven, and he says, it's going to be good for you that I go away. And he says, but I'm going to send another. And it's a special Greek word that in this another, it's another of the same kind. And so he's going to send the Holy Spirit. Because when Jesus is on earth, he's in one locale at one time, one place. So there he was finding himself, let's say over in Jerusalem, in this one place. What he says is the plan of all of this is I'm going to go back home and it's going to be best for you. But I'm going to send another who's actually going to come and live inside of you. And so with that, he multiplies himself in that sense by each of us as believers becoming his hands and becoming his feet. And so we get to bring love to our towns. In this day and age, he brought love to town, and now it's you and I that gets to bring love to our towns, to our families, to our friends, to other kids in school, if you're still in school, to our coworkers, to our neighbors. Even we get to bring love to our enemies. Remember in the famous prayer of the Our Father that Jesus gave us, he prayed on earth as it is in heaven. So keep that in your mind just for a second. We have this word apostle. It simply means one divinely sent, right? This apostolos in the Greek here is interesting where it came from. It was actually Rome's military word. What they would do is they would come and they would conquer a city. After they conquered that city, they would send in their architects. They would send in their linguists, these language specialists. They would send in the guys to be able to build the famous Roman roads that still exist 2,000 years later. Pretty amazing roads that they would bring in. They would bring in their culture. They would bring in their business training. They would bring all of that into the community. And it was all about taking this conquered city, and now they would find it transformed. Here's the reason why. So that if an emperor came, so Rome was taking over the world, that if the emperor ever came into this now conquered city that's now transformed, that he'd feel at home. That he'd feel at home. It'd be the same food, same style of business, the same language, all of those different things, that he would feel at home. So when Jesus prayed on earth, as it is up in heaven, this wasn't a pipe dream. This was a strategic assignment. See, it's possible for you and I to be able to live lives and live in homes, have marriages, live in churches where Jesus feels at home. And that becomes ultimately, as we get saved, that becomes our goal. That he would find his home in our heart and feel comfortable in our lives daily with us. Maybe one of the best ways to bring love to our town is by who we are, besides what we do. Immediately, our minds usually go, what we can do, but ultimately, who we are. I'm thinking of living our lives in such a way where we demonstrate our Lord's hope. Demonstrate our Lord's joy, peace, right in the midst of the difficulties of our lives. Just last service, young man came up to me and he says, I wonder if you could pray for my grandfather. He's here this morning and we'd lost track of where he was, but his name is Bob and he just lost his wife, my grandma, yesterday. Just went home to be with the Lord and he's really hurting today. As we talk about and as we sing about in the Christmas season, joy and thrill of hope and having peace in each and every one of these things, for some that just, maybe some of you this morning, it just seems so distant and out there. Maybe it's a year since someone passed in your family and you're looking back as this being kind of that first anniversary. And so I understand that at Christmas time, it's joyous, especially for kids. They're thinking of tomorrow morning, opening some gifts, and it's going to be fun. But there's a lot of people with heavy hearts of things that are going on. Maybe this is a key. It's learning not to regret the past or fear the future. Think about it. If I live in the past, God's not there. He is not the God that showed up and says, I was. I'm the great I was. No. And on the other way, if I live in the future, God's not there. He's not the great I will be. But in fact, we realize I must live in the presence because God is here. He is the great I am, right? He living in this present now. His whole life is in the now. Living in the present. His presence in your life is what divides the domain of the disappointment from the realm of hope. I like the scripture. I'm going to put it behind me. Romans 15:13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. Can you imagine if you gave me a gift last Christmas and you came over my house and it was still unwrapped? You would think I was weird, I was crazy, or that I didn't appreciate the gift or something, but that's strange. Somebody gives you a gift and you don't open it up. We sang the song, "Hark the Herald Angels Sing, Glory to the Newborn King." And then he tells us why he was born. Born that man no more should die, born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. Every one of us here this morning, we've all been born physically, but scripture talks about us being born spiritually. This second birth, that's what he's talking about here. What I like about this is that Jesus came for everyone. And that video in the very beginning expressed that so well, that Jesus came for everyone. I like the different groups of folks that are coming up, especially with the shepherd towards the end there. Because the angel showing up to the shepherds in Luke chapter 2 was pretty radical. Now, it's always radical if an angel shows up, right? But who he showed up to was very, very, very strange. But what the angel said to these shepherds, now remember, shepherds are distrusted, thieves, a despised class, and unreliable. They couldn't even testify in the court of law. Nobody liked them. They're this whole different breed of folks that they just didn't like. They're the outskirts of society and all of that. But think now, an angel showing up, one of them, and then the multitude comes. But an angel shows up and says, "Do not be afraid. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people." I like that he picks the shepherds. And I like the whole story, because on one hand you got the kings from the east, but then you got these shepherds, the despised. And maybe even this morning you might feel like one of those shepherds that, okay, we can talk about all these nice things and God is love and forgiveness and all of that, but I don't think that he came for me. But the shepherds in our story explain that Jesus came for everyone. The shepherds, they didn't know Torah. They didn't know the scriptures. They weren't deserving. They're the most unlikely group for an angel to appear to, let alone a whole multitude that showed up. So what is good news for them becomes great news for every one of us. He came in swaddling cloths so we could wear his robes of royalty. In just a minute, I'm going to give you an opportunity, because Jesus has a gift for you, and I'm praying that you'll open it today. He's got the free gift of eternal life and says, "Here you go. All you have to do is open the package. Everything has been done. It's a free gift. You can't pay for it. You can't do enough good deeds to be able to earn it. It is a gift." Just like you and I give tomorrow morning. We have a gift. Hopefully you're not doing it with any strings attached, right? You're just giving the gift, saying it's yours. It's just me communicating my love to you. It's just a gift. And it's God's doing the same thing with you. But all you need to do is to be able to open that gift. Every year our tradition is to end with the song, "O Holy Night." And I like one of the phrases in there, and my wife Kelly hit it pretty good at the beginning of the month with each of you ladies and talking about the thrill of hope. And that phrase that says, "A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices." And again, maybe you're here today and you feel kind of the weariness of life or death in this world. Wonder how anyone around you can rejoice. Maybe you got home problems, work setbacks, school troubles, or just scared of all the global issues, emotional obstacles, insecurity hurdles. You're in desperate need of the reality of Christ to break through your loneliness or your hurt or your grieving or despair. And remember that tears do not reflect a lack of faith. Tears are a gift from God that help to wash away the deep pain of loss. I like this quote by Tim Keller. He said, "Over and over again, God says, I would choose Nazareth over Jerusalem. I would choose the girl nobody wants, and I would choose the boy everybody has forgotten." That's the way God has communicated himself, that Jesus is for everyone. You think back of Jesus' life, you think, but does he understand? You think back on Jesus' life here on earth, where it started of him lying in a cold stone feeding trough of an animal, and it ends on a cold stone slab in a cave. Now, he understood this weary world for sure. But life here on earth, though it's wearisome at times, gives us or brings us great hope at Christmas. And in this song also it says, "But yonder breaks a new and glorious morn." Yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. It's a new day. And that's what Jesus brings us, his peace, his love, his joy. And it could flood our hearts in the midst of that as we just hold on to Christ during those weary times. And he can flood our hearts with each and every one of those things. And so I'll invite up our worship team at this time. And with you, I'm going to invite you to go ahead and stand at this time. And with that, you can get out your candles, and our ushers will be lighting those in just a little bit. Kids can grab your little finger lights. I thought we had glow sticks also, and I was going to say this because I thought this was great. Glow sticks remind us sometimes you have to break before you shine, right? Candles remind us to use our life to bring warmth to someone else. And when the ushers light at the inside of the aisles, and then you're going to light your neighbor's light. And then thirdly, with the kids' finger lights, that's what I got. Took me half of last song to learn how to use it. I was trying to squeeze the thing. But if you just light it forward, it works pretty good, kids. Don't waste the whole song like I did trying to figure it out. But the finger lights remind us is what? This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Amen. Let's worship with this last song.